This is Mark Dan, Conscious America. I'm coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. This morning at 9 a.m. Central Time, we'll be joined by Nazanin Bonyadi, who is a Persian actress living in Southern California, who's involved with the international human rights movement. We're going to be talking to her specifically about the human rights question as it pertains to what's happening in Iran. And obviously, with various things going on in the world, Iran is going to continue to be a hot topic of conversation, both as far as what's going on in that country domestically, as well as what's happening internationally. I've been reading this weekend the American Free Press's book entitled The CIA in Iran, which chronicles what happened in 1953 in that country. That book is well worth your time because it deals with original documents that were classified at one time, that underscores exactly what the CIS and the American CIA and the British MI6 were up to in regard to the coup that got rid of Mohammad Mossadegh and that re-ensconced the Shah of Iran in power. Stephen Kinzer's book, All the Shahs, has been so well worth your time to read in regard to what happened in 1953 in that country. That is a Wiley publishing company. Effort entitled All the Shah's Men, An American Coup and the Roots of Middle East Terror. That's Stephen Kinzer, K-I-N-Z-E-R. But I thought the American Free Press publication was especially invaluable because there were so many original documents, classified intelligence documents pertaining to that era that have finally been through the Freedom of Information Act, pried out of George Washington University National Security Archives in Washington, D.C. It's quite interesting to read these documents over a half century later to determine exactly what happened in 1953 and why it happened. It's also interesting as a primer for what became the CIA's methodology throughout the Third World in regard to enacting revolutions that were thought to be in the interest of Western corporate interests and the American government. And then maybe the Zionist lobby. It's also instructive because it may provide us a grid through which we can interpret the events that are going on right now, at least the events as they are being reported by corporate Zionist news media. No question that when you go into the American Free Press's book, The CIA and Iran, and begin to look at those documents which give us the information from its mouth in regard to what the intelligence community was doing in that situation 54 years ago, it becomes absolutely suggestive of what may in fact be going on there now. Christopher Petherick, the editor of American Free Press, has edited this book. It's entitled The CIA in Iran, The 1953 Coup and the Origins of the U.S.-Iran Divide. Again, it's an absolutely important volume because it gives us the original documents, at least the handful that we've been able to pry out of the George Washington University National Security Archive thus far, and it is a real eye-opener in regard to exactly what we knew and what we were doing in conjunction with British intelligence on behalf of the Anglo-Iranian Oil Company, read that as British Petroleum, and what took place in ridding Iran of Mohammad Mossadegh and replacing him with a re-energized Shah of Iran, Mohammad Reza Shah Pahlavi, as a result of the intervention of both the CIA and the British MI6. There are a series of news articles that are well worth your time this morning. Gwen Dyer has a piece at the Information Clearinghouse entitled Iran, How to Start a War. We're going to take a look at that when we come back, as well as what Harmony Grant has to say from the National Prayer Network in regard to what has happened to Lieutenant Commander John Sharp. And we're also going to be taking a look at a couple of other news items related to Nancy Pelosi's present trip to Syria. Mark Dankos from America is coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. At 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, we're going to be speaking with Nazanin Bonyadi. She is a Persian actress now based in Southern California, talking about the whole issue of human rights in Iran and what, from her perception, is going on in that country. And we're going to be watching that whole story, of course, in the days ahead, because, as you know, the Russians have had several news reports that indicate that the United States will attack Iran on April 6th, according to these Russian press sources. Who knows whether or not that's true, but ironically enough, if it proves to be true, and we hope that it isn't, that would fall on Good Friday. That would be a great irony, wouldn't it? We'll have to keep an eye on that whole thing in the days ahead. But suffice it to say that this whole business of tension with Iran seems to be coming center stage again, as it did in 1953. As it did in 1978 and 1979 during the Iranian Islamic Revolution. And now, of course, we approach a time frame where it appears the clock is ticking in terms of a confrontation between the United States and Iran, which, again, we pray doesn't happen. But it certainly looks like there are things in the wind in regard to the deployment of American aircraft carriers, in regard to what seemed to be situations in Balochistan province and Khuzestan province, and Azerbaijan,
that suggest that tensions in those regions are being exacerbated by foreign elements. And, of course, as you look at the international news media, the chief targets of suspicion in regard to these activities going on in Azerbaijan, Khuzestan province, and Balochistan province are the United States, Britain, and Israel. So we'll keep an eye on that one as well in the days ahead. Really wondering about what all of this means, particularly since so many people, most people presumably, to the extent that they pay attention to international news at all, are getting it through corporate Zionist media, which is giving them a particular slant on these events that may not correspond at all to what's actually happening in reality. And that's something to keep in mind as well, how significant it is that we continue, both at the Republic Broadcasting Network as well as at the American Free Press and the organs of this type, to try and bring you the actual news with a correct analysis, we believe, as to what's happening, as opposed to that which is going on with the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and the Washington Post and Fox News and company, which have all have an orientation, it seems to me, that is quite similar in regard to this whole issue of Zionism in the Middle East and the whole question of why they claim the United States is involved and not part of the world militarily. Gwen Dyer has an interesting piece today at Information Clearinghouse. You can find this one at antiwar.com. It's the lead story today at antiwar.com. It's entitled How to Start a War. And I think in conjunction with what our guest was saying on Friday, it's important to take a look at the Gwen Dyer piece because it emphasizes just how close we could be to something happening. Mehdi Amini, who was on the show on Friday, was speaking specifically about the way in which things could start happening that could either be a false flag incident or simply a question of an accident because political and military forces are simply too close for comfort. But getting into Gwen Dyer's piece at the Information Clearinghouse today entitled Iran, How to Start a War, she begins by quoting something that was in the Jordan Times apparently on March 30th. And U.S. Navy Lieutenant Commander Eric Horner is quoted as saying, I don't want to second-guess the British after the fact, but our rules of engagement, meaning the American rules of engagement, allow a little more latitude. Our boarding team's training is a little bit more towards self-preservation, unquote. Gwen Dyer goes on to ask, does that mean that one of his American boarding teams would have opened fire if it had been them and the two inflatable boats that were surrounded by Iranian Revolutionary Guard fast patrol boats off the coast of Iraq last Friday? Horner replies, quote, agreed, yes, unquote. Gwen Dyer then continues, just as well that it was a British boarding team then. The 15 British sailors and Marines who were captured and taken to Tehran for questioning last week are undoubtedly having an unpleasant time, but they are alive. And Britain is only involved in two wars, in Iraq and Afghanistan. If it had been one of Eric Horner's boarding teams, they would all be dead, and the United States and Iran would now be at war. Horner is the executive officer of the USS Underwood, the American frigate that works together with HMS Cornwall, the British ship that the captive boarding party came from. Interviewed after the incident by Terry Judd of The Independent, the only British print journalist on the HMS Cornwall, he was obviously struggling to be polite about the gutless Brits, but he wasn't having much success. Quote, the U.S. Navy rules of engagement say we have not only a right to self-defense, but also an obligation to self-defense, Horner explained. The British had every right, in my mind, and every justification to defend themselves rather than allow themselves to be taken. Our reaction was, why didn't you guys defend themselves? So there they are, eight sailors and seven Marines and two rubber boats with personal weapons and no protection whatever, sitting about 30 cm above the water, surrounded by six or seven Iranian attack boats with mounted machine guns. Defend yourself, quote-unquote, by opening fire, and after a single long burst from half a dozen heavy machine guns, there will be 14 dead young men and one dead young woman and two rapidly sinking inflatables, and your country will be at war. Seems a bit pointless, really. When Dyer goes on to say, basically, that this is a cultural thing. That's an interesting perspective, isn't it? A cultural thing. It's a cultural thing at bottom, she says. Britain has a long history of fighting wars and taking casualties, but the combat doctrines are less hairy-chested. British rules of engagement, quote, are very much de-escalatory because we don't want war starting, unquote, explained Admiral Sir Alan West, former First Sea Lord. Quote, rather than roaring into action and sinking everything in sight, we try to step back. That, of course, is why our chaps were able to be captured and taken away, unquote. That emollient British approach is probably why the Iranian Revolutionary Guard chose to grab British troops rather than Americans. It was obviously a snatch operation. The Iranians would not normally have half a dozen attack boats ready to go, even if some coalition boat checking Iraq-bound ships for contraband did stray across the invisible dividing line into Iranian waters, which the British insist they didn't. But it was not necessarily an operation ordered from the top of Iran's government. In fact, there is no single source of authority in Iran's curious system of multiple governments, as one observer labeled the impenetrably complex division of responsibilities and powers between elected civilians and unelected mullahs. The Revolutionary Guards, who are quite different from the regular armed forces, enjoy considerable autonomy within this system. According to the U.S. authorities in Iraq, the five Iranian diplomats arrested by U.S. troops in a raid in Erbil in Iraqi Kurdistan last January were actually Revolutionary Guards, and it would seem that their colleagues want them back. Kidnapping American troops as hostages for an exchange could cause a war, so they decided to grab some Brits instead. And it will probably work after a certain delay. In this episode, the American reputation for belligerence served U.S. troops well, diverting Iranian attention to the British instead. In the larger scheme of things, it is a bit more problematic. A quite similar snatch operation against the equally belligerent Israelis last July led to a month-long Israeli aerial bombardment of Lebanon and a retaliatory hail of Hezbollah rockets on northern Israeli cities. Well over 1,000 people were dead by the end, although nothing was settled. Any day now, a minor clash along Iraq's land or sea frontier with Iran could kill some American troops and give President Bush an excuse to attack Iran if he wants one, and he certainly seems to. If the Revolutionary Guards had got it wrong last Friday and attacked an American boarding party by mistake, he would have his excuse now, and bombs might already be falling on Iran. All the pieces are in place, and the war could start at any time. The writer is a London-based independent journalist whose articles are published in 45 countries. That's a very, very fascinating piece today, which you can find at Information Clearinghouse in terms of the original URL. Antiwar.com links to this piece by Gwen Dyer. Again, it's entitled Iran, How to Start a War. And of course, it seems to me that whether you're talking about a false flag incident or a simple question of a mistake being made in a very tension-filled arena, the fact of the matter is that we are incredibly close, it seems, to a much wider conflict in that part of the world, and it's one that we're going to have to be watching for you in the days ahead, because it seems that things are happening and happening at a great speed and pace. Keep an eye on it, folks. CNN.com has an important piece today entitled Pelosi Will Talk About Kidnapped Soldiers with the Syrian President. This is a Jerusalem byline, a CNN story. U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said Sunday she will bring up the plight of Israeli soldiers kidnapped by the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah during her delegation's visit to Syria next week. You know, this is a very, very interesting story. You look at the picture, which comes to us from the Associated Press, which accompanies this CNN post, and it's entitled, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi Holds Up the Tags of Kidnapped Israeli Soldiers During Her Speech at an Official Dinner at Israel's Parliament in Jerusalem on Sunday. And, of course, keep in mind that Nancy Pelosi made a very, very interesting and revealing and provocative speech not too long ago at the American-Israel Political Action Committee gathering, in which she sounded about as militant as Dick Cheney, about as militant as Tom DeLay on this whole subject of Israel and Zionism in the Middle East. Here is just a classic example, once again, of an American policy that just doesn't seem to get it in the Middle East. And here again we have yet another example of a two-party system that is, in fact, a one-party system. We'll take a closer look at this Pelosi story when we come back. Take a look at Harmony Grant's piece for the National Prayer Network on Lieutenant Commander John Sharp, and then talk a little bit about something that Mark Glenn and I have planned for Friday, as well as talking about tomorrow's appearance by Phil Turney, who was with the USS Liberty on June 8, 1967. We'll be back. This is Mark Ancos America. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to be joined at around 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, for a conversation with Nazanin Bonyadi, the Persian actress who is now based in Southern California. She's involved with several human rights organizations and groups dealing with issues related to the situation in Iran. It'll be very interesting to get her take on this in regard to what she believes is happening in that country. Tomorrow, we are going to have a very, very special guest, Phil Turney. Phil resides in Colorado. He is the third person we will have had on this show who was a part of the USS Liberty at the time it was attacked by Israel on June the 8th, 1967. Phil and I had a very good conversation this weekend, just confirming that he would be on Tuesday. Several things that I could say about Phil that are very, very positive and very poignant have been mentioned to me by several of our other guests, Dave Lewis and also Gary Brummett from the USS Liberty. telling me that Phil Turney was a damage control officer who was top deck at the time of the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty. He saw firsthand the incredible suffering and carnage that was caused first by the aerial assault and then secondarily by the torpedo strike on the USS Liberty. And he has, of course, carried around these horrific memories and images of what he saw and experienced that day for 40 years. And he has a lot of very powerful personal testimony that I picked up on when I talked to Phil on the phone this weekend in regard to his feelings about what drives American foreign policy and his concern that Israel, not the national security interests of the United States, but Israel is the reason why we are presently in this quagmire in the Middle East that is about to get worse. I second that with obviously far less personal experience and tragedy in my life on this score than Phil Turney has had, which is why I think it's important to hear his, if I can put it this way, his personal testimony and witness to what happened 40 years ago this June the 8th. And what it has meant in his life and all of the years since, and his warning that I think he will sound tomorrow to you and to me in regard to the danger of continuing to allow the Israeli lobby to run the foreign policy of this country and to control so many of our domestic institutions. If you need any further evidence of this, we can go right back to the story in today's CNN.com. Nancy Pelosi, once again, is acting as a mouthpiece for the Israeli government, it seems to me, and the domestic Israeli lobby in the United States in regard to this proposed trip that she's going to be leading, the so-called delegation that's going to arrive in Syria next week. And you know what's fascinating to me is you read through this account of Ms. Pelosi, it's very fascinating that there are a series of things that she doesn't mention. The first thing that she doesn't mention is that as she is attacking Iran for their nuclear program, she says that there is no way that they should be ever allowed, in her judgment, to have a nuclear weapon. There is, at the same time, no mentioning on her part of Israel's nuclear program. Israel, depending on who you talk to in the national security community, has between 200 and 400 nuclear bombs. They are the chief biological and chemical weapons power in that region. They quite obviously have had a very long history in the utilization of violence to achieve political means. We can go all the way back, of course, to what happened when Menachem Begin and the Stern Gang bombed the King David Hotel in 1948. We can talk about the Israeli assassination of Swedish Count Bernadotte, the UN representative in Palestine at that time. We can speak about what happened to Deir Yassin and many other villages in Palestine, Arab-populated villages in Palestine that were ethnically cleansed at that time by elements of the Haganah and other groups operating as part of the Israeli terror apparatus. We can certainly speak about other things as well that have never been uncovered and talked about openly in the American media for very obvious reasons in regard to what Israel has been doing with its intelligence apparatus in the decades since the foundation of the State of Israel. Michael Collins Piper is correct, and I would urge you to read his book, Final Judgment. Israel had a direct participatory hand in the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Does that sound extreme to you? Read Piper's book, Final Judgment. Read it in conjunction with some of the legitimate research that has preceded Michael Collins Piper's book that does not take the Israeli angle, but which nonetheless provides us with some very, very fine data, which Mike Piper does corroborate. He simply takes it to the next level as far as connecting the dots is concerned. So whether you're reading Anthony Summers' book, Conspiracy, or reading Jim Marr's book, Crossfire, or taking a look at David Lifton's book, Best Evidence, it's quite clear from all of those volumes that something is really wrong with the official explanation. Mike Piper, I think, connects the last dots. Where is Nancy Pelosi on that issue? We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is Monday, the 2nd of April, 2007, and we will have at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, a one-hour conversation with Nazanin Bonyadi, a Persian actress now residing in Southern California, who's involved with this whole situation in Iran as it relates to her perceptions on the human rights issue. And we'll have an opportunity again to pursue that more with Ms. Bonyadi when we speak with her at 9 o'clock. But suffice it to say, as you look at this whole Middle Eastern situation, Mike Piper, I think, with his book Final Judgment, has enabled us to connect a series of dots in regard to the Kennedy assassination. And those dots, if connected properly, and I believe that they have been by Mike Piper, lead directly back to Tel Aviv and to Jerusalem. Why does Nancy Pelosi not talk about that in regard to what she has been saying publicly in this whole subject of Israel? Why is it that Nancy Pelosi and John Edwards and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama have all been doing recent obeisance
to the American Israel Political Action Committee and to other related pro-Israel Israeli lobby organizations. I think the answer to that is very clear. Simply follow the money trail. And when you follow the money trail in both of the major political parties, you get at the bottom of what is going on in regard to Israel's absolute stranglehold on the political process in this country and our government and our news media. Not an accident, folks, that McCain and Giuliani in particular in the Republican Party have been chasing what General Wes Clark termed the Jewish New York money. And the Jewish New York money men, in General Clark's original assessment, were the ones clamoring for war with Tehran. He later took those statements back and modified them and did due obeisance to the Anti-Defamation League and to related Israeli organizations. But I think General Wes Clark's original remarks should stand on their own in regard to explaining what is going on in this circumstance. And again, in regard to what Nancy Pelosi is going to be talking about with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad when she meets with him next week, she and her delegation, it will be instructive to see what is said as well as what is not said. Pelosi has indicated that Iran is a problem for the world. What about Israel, folks? Again, it seems to me that they are the leading nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons agent in that part of the world, that the Zionist State of Israel was formed in 1947 and 1948 through a series of criminal enterprises that have seen the public light of day in regard to now being a part of the public record, but they are conveniently forgotten because mainstream American politicians simply do not refer to these things. Again, as I was mentioning before the last commercial break, we're talking about the activities of Menachem Begin and Yitzhak Shamir, just to name two, in regard to various acts of terrorism that relate to what happened at Deir Yassin, that relate to what happened with the assassination of Swedish Count Bernadotte, that relates to what happened with the bombing of the King David Hotel in an attempt to kill scores of British civilians to forcibly evict them from Palestine. All of these things are criminal activities. They have all escaped public purview, largely because of the complicity of the major politicians in both the Republican and Democratic parties, it seems, in regard to the role of the Israeli lobby in financing American political elections. Don't believe me? Check out the Federal Election Commission lists on these politicians. See how much Israeli money is there. Not simply in terms of the obvious character of the money, but there are many front organizations, the true purpose of which has been hidden from you and from me in regard to who and what is actually behind these sources of money coming from these allegedly innocuous individuals and innocuous organizations whose titles do not directly connect them at all to the Israeli lobby, when in many instances they are front groups for that lobby. The Washington Report for Middle East Affairs, which you can find at Wormia, W-R-M-E-A, I believe that's wormia.com, they can go a long way toward helping you and me in the interpretation of these Federal Election Commission lists to figure out the real figures and the real sources in regard to this Israeli lobby money trail. And suffice it to say once again that Nancy Pelosi is simply not talking about any of this publicly for obvious reasons. And her recent appearance before the American Israeli Political Action Committee was absolutely instructive and insightful in regard to who it is that is pulling her strings. And the fact that she is now taking a delegation to meet with Hafez al-Assad in Syria is once more highly suggestive in regard to a series of things related not simply to topics that are going to be discussed, but the slant that Pelosi is already giving those topics with advanced statements being made to the international press, as well as the makeup of this delegation that she is taking over there. Who are these other people that are going to be a part of that delegation? When you go through the list of folks that are going with Nancy Pelosi, I would suggest a project for every listener to this broadcast. Check out Henry Waxman and Tom Lantos of California, Louise Slaughter of New York, Nick Rahal of West Virginia, take a look at those folks to see exactly who they are and who it is that has bankrolled their respective political campaigns. It would be a real primer, I think, in the exercise of a real political science study for you and for me in regard to how much the average American has been peripheralized in the political process and how much the Israeli lobby has come to control in regard to conversation, in regard to political alliances in with foreign powers, and in regard to, again, that whole issue of money trails. But I would have a suggestion for Ms. Pelosi. Why don't we have a situation where we put everything on the table with al-Assad and with the Iranians and with Hezbollah and with the rest of the folks in the Middle East other than Israel? What if we were to say that we would insist on the Oslo Accord actually being followed? The Palestinians were given a 51-49% split in regard to the original UN partition of Palestine. They're now in a position of agreeing to settle. They would agree to settle for only 22% of that, not the original 49% that they were granted. They've now settled for 22% just to get anything. Why are we allowing that kind of a shrinking land percentage to be occurring in regard to what the Palestinians were originally given in the late 1940s, which was, again, 49% of what had originally been theirs? The other 51% had already been lifted from them. Three-quarters of a million Palestinians would end up losing their land and their freedoms at the expense of Israel. What has been done on behalf of those people? Absolutely nothing, as near as I can tell. And we have a circumstance where there has been no reparation made to those who were originally disenfranchised. And in regard to the very minimalist deal that the Palestinians agreed to at Oslo, Israel has not abided by that agreement at all. They continue to settle lands that international law says are not theirs. They continue to do this with American political and economic support. They continue to pursue a policy of military occupation in both the West Bank and Gaza, where there are daily casualties as a result of that occupation, not to mention a series of events that have happened in the Middle East in recent years, which the American corporate Zionist news media traces to Arab or Persian perpetrators, when in fact most of the rest of the international community seems to believe that Israel is the source of these crimes that have been committed, including the Rafik Hariri assassination in Lebanon. What is behind all of this, folks? Are we looking at a situation now where the present situation in the Middle East is simply going to provide the cover and the pretext for an Israeli expansion of their borders, an expansion that would never be approved of in the international community in any semblance of a rule of law, but where Israel is going to attempt, many believe, to actually expand their borders from the Nile River to the Euphrates? That was the original vision of the Zionists who created the State of Israel in the late 1940s. Are we looking at a circumstance where there is going to be an incident which is going to give Israel the opportunity to expand itself into Lebanon and into Syria and to begin to move eastward in a fashion that will enable them to occupy much of Iraq? We'll have to watch this in the days ahead, but suffice it to say that Nancy Pelosi is not talking about any of this. What about Oslo? What about the rights of the Palestinians to their land? What about the Israeli occupation of the West Bank and Gaza? What about East Jerusalem? What about the fact that Israel is the chief nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons power in that part of the world and is not a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty? Why are we insisting that Iran, on the one hand, which is a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, be asked to give up its right, according to that treaty, to enrich uranium? Why, at the same time, are we not insisting that Israel be a part of the NPT and that Israel's programs, nuclear, biological, and chemical, be subjected to international inspection? Why? It's very clear. The Israeli lobby controls the American political process. They own the news media. They have a disproportionate influence in the American educational institutional scene. And, of course, when we watch House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and her fronting for the government of Israel and for the Israeli lobby and her posturing before the international news media prior to this delegation's visit to Syria, it's very easy, I think, to see what is going on, to see how unacceptable that should be to every American who believes that his or her government should not be under the ownership of a foreign lobby, which should reflect the Constitution of the United States and the exercise of constitutional principles, and should be aimed at the interest of the average citizen of this country in regard to the interests being pursued by these politicians. You know, we were talking a little bit last week about this whole issue of Lieutenant Commander John Sharp that came up in our conversations last week with Dave Lewis of the USS Liberty. Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross has been talking a great deal about this issue of Lieutenant Commander John Sharp. I have subsequently posted several pieces at Breaking All the Rules News in recent days about this case and what it means in regard to the fact that the Southern Poverty Law Center and the old culprit Morris Dees have been involved in an attempt to get rid of a devout Catholic in the United States Navy who has been a public relations officer for the USS Vincent. Lieutenant Commander John Sharp is someone who has been an editor and publisher of several volumes. One is entitled Neocon. The other is entitled Neocon Again. And if you get a hold of these volumes, you will see that some of the best writers who have critiqued the Israeli lobby appear in these volumes. Pat Buchanan, that name is probably familiar to everyone who listens to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Pat Buchanan is a part of this series. Paul Gottfried, a friend of mine, very fine anti-Zionist Jewish professor at Elizabethtown College up in Pennsylvania, is listed there. Noam Chomsky, the internationally famous anti-war critic with an MIT background, is mentioned in these volumes, is a contributor to these volumes. And the list just goes on and in regard to the academic and political legitimacy of what Lieutenant Commander John Sharp has produced. That production, that academic production, has apparently brought him very close to the end of his Navy career. Harmony Grant, who is, of course, working with Ted Pike at the National Prayer Network, has a new piece today entitled Thought Police, Keel Hall, a Navy Catholic. Harmony has been a guest on this show, as Ted Pike has been, and she goes on to say that last year, the human rights director for the city of St. Paul removed an Easter bunny display by a secretary. Quote, I sent an email that Easter is viewed as a Christian holiday and advised that it be taken down. It wasn't a big deal, unquote, the director said. Harmony is quoting Michael Barone in U.S. News and World Report's blog of April of 2006. She goes on to say that it is a big deal. Christian symbols are apparently too offensive to be seen. According to www.jewschool.com, Rabbi Rami Shapiro is encouraging everyone to write their local papers and demand that Easter bunnies everywhere be renamed. It doesn't take much. In 2001, a Jewish resident of Walnut Creek, California, complained about the Easter bunny. After this single complaint, the city renamed it the Spring Bunny. You know who might have had a problem with this? John Jay, James Madison, John Adams, and George Washington, who kissed the Bible after taking his oath of office and wrote, quote, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and Bible, unquote. The founding fathers who gave us our freedom stated clearly that we have Christianity to thank. And Harmony has a link to substantiate that claim. She goes on to say, if the brilliant men who wrote our Constitution were alive, talking this way today, they'd doubtless be defamed by the Anti-Defamation League as Christian supremacists and as radical traditionalists by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Our nation's first Chief Justice, John Jay, went farther than most modern fundamentalists, saying boldly, quote, it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers, unquote. If the Southern Poverty Law Center had their way, John Jay would surely have been discredited right out of the Supreme Court building. In that case, he could join Lieutenant Commander John Sharp on the unemployment couch. She then goes on to discuss the strange case of Lieutenant Commander John Sharp. On March 7th, Lieutenant Commander Sharp was relieved of duty on the Carl Vinson aircraft carrier for alleged participation in a, quote, organization that espouses supremacist causes, unquote. Sharp had been attacked by the Southern Poverty Law Center for leading the Legion of St. Louis and the IHS Press, which SPLC calls, quote, nakedly anti-Semitic, unquote. The center lists Sharp as one of the Dirty Dozen, Catholic people and organizations which they call radical traditionalist hate groups. Sharp founded the Legion of St. Louis, described by the Southern Poverty Law Center as, quote, if it's not the worst group we profiled in terms of anti-Semitism, it's right up there, unquote. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RPN. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to be joined right around 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, by Nazanin Bonyadi, who is a Persian actress and now resides in the Southern California area. We're going to be talking about human rights as that pertains to things Iranian, and maybe getting into a little bit of conversation as well about this current situation in which we find ourselves in with Iran. That will be Nazanin Bonyadi at right around 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time. Again, I wanted to alert you that tomorrow, Phil Turney of the USS Liberty will be on this show. He is the third guest we have had from that crew from June 8, 1967. He was a damage control officer top deck who had to deal with the most gruesome aftermath of the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty. And I think that that's going to be quite a show tomorrow with Phil Turney on Tuesday. And Phil is going to be on for the entire three-hour segment. That is tomorrow. And then a little bit later this morning, before we had Nazanin Bonyadi coming on, I wanted to say something about something that Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross and I are going to be doing on this show on Friday that we hope to make a regular feature for Mark Gancos America in regard to news summaries and evaluating all of my guests at the end of any particular week. I'll be saying more about that later on this morning. You can support the Republic Broadcasting Network by giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. You can also contact us with your support on the World Wide Web at the republicbroadcasting.org website. That's www.republicbroadcasting.org. Through that same mechanism, you can have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism. That can be yours for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by using those same contact points. 1-800-724-2719 or contacting us on the web at www.republicbroadcasting.org. If you have to call in today with any questions for me or for our guests at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time, you can do so at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. I wanted to get back a little bit then to this piece before the next commercial break that Harmony Grant has posted today for the National Prayer Network entitled Thought Police, Keel Hall, a Navy Catholic. She is explaining to us, of course, something that we've been talking about in the last few days on this show, and that's the very, very strange, bizarre, and ominous case of Lieutenant Commander John Sharp, who has been on the Carl Vinson aircraft carrier, has been a public relations officer. The Southern Poverty Law Center, with our old friend Morris Dees, D-E-E-S, acting undoubtedly in conjunction with the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, standing in the background here, has been trying to tell the world that Lieutenant Commander John Sharp, who is a devout Roman Catholic and who is the editor and publisher of both Neocon and Neocon Again, is somehow an anti-Semite. What do you mean, anti-Semitic, counters Commander Sharp? Have I advocated harming people because they're Jewish, hating people because they're Jewish, have any attitude to them because they're Jewish or any other religion? Absolutely not, as a quotation from the Virginian Pilot on March 10th. Sharp says his IHS Press publishes old titles by Catholic writers such as G.K. Chesterton. He founded the Legion in 2000 as a, quote, web-based forum for discussion on how Catholicism related to contemporary social and economic issues, unquote, and the site was only active for 2 years. So basically, Sharp was dishonored and relieved of duty because of a Catholic publishing company and a politically incorrect website dismantled 5 years ago. We'll be back to examine that story a little bit more closely. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming